Under the Dome, the State Journal Register podcast dealing with Illinois state government and politics. I'm editor Angie Muse, and I'm here with political writer Bernie Schoenberg and State House writer Doug Finke. So we'll start off. Last night, we were out at the University of Illinois Springfield with five of the six people running for governor in the Democratic primary. Bernie, was it about what you expected? You were a panelist on that.
I was a panelist. Thank you for kind of helping set the whole thing up, Angie. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, I suppose, Chris Kennedy did not show because it was just in the afternoon before the evening debate that his campaign let us know that he had been working out that morning and had slipped a disc in his back, so he was unable to travel under doctor's orders, so he did not make it. It was interesting in that just that day it had come out in the Chicago Tribune that he was endorsed by that paper, the largest circulation paper in the state, so that kind of gave him a boost. He has also been one of those in debate situations to attack J.B. Pritzker for various things, including not being mean enough or saying harsh enough things about House Speaker Michael Madigan. So we did not get to see Kennedy. We got to see the other five candidates. As it turned out, there were several issues discussed, including state employee pensions and who's right and wrong on that. Mike Madigan, oddly, at this Democratic debate, continues to be an issue because Madigan has had to cut a couple of people loose in the last week and a half from his political organization because of allegations of harassment, sexual or otherwise, or inappropriate treatment of candidates or staffers. So Daniel Biss said Madigan's been, you know, in his positions too long. Biss is among those saying that Madigan should step down. I think it's from being the leader of the Democratic Party of Illinois. J.B. Pritzker, who Biss calls Madigan's candidate, but Pritzker, Madigan is not officially for anybody, but Pritzker basically says we need to have an outside investigation of the harassment claims and everybody needs to be accountable and everybody working in government and outside should know that their workplace is safe and we must move forward. So again, he did call for an outside investigation, and after the debate, he was talking to reporters, even said, even if that means an out-of-state entity looking at the way the party has functioned, he's trying to distance himself, but obviously those who don't like Speaker Madigan are linking him to, linking Pritzker to him. So that's part of what we had, and then I know Doug, maybe you can talk about the pension part, but they were kind of attacking each other on who would be better to state employees.
Right, and part of the problem being in the legislature is you establish a voting record, and Senator Biss was involved with and voted for the pension reform plan that was ultimately found unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. The way Pritzker characterized it is Biss was trying to take away the pensions of more than 400,000 public workers. That is not the case. It would have curtailed the benefits, some of the benefits that they were expecting when they signed up for the pension program, but it wasn't flat out taking their pensions away. Nonetheless, it was the bill then and continues to be a source of controversy. Obviously, the public employees and public employee unions have been opposed to any efforts to curtail pension benefits. Biss said that he was trying to deal with a budget problem back when this bill was passed, and he's learned a lesson from this. And I guess when you're running for governor and being criticized for it, you probably have learned a lesson from it.
Right, and when he's talking about more than 400,000, I think that includes retired teachers, right? So it's not just state workers.
Right, right. But within the realm of public
workers,
people get a public pension anyway.
Right. And, you know, obviously an issue, whoever wins this race in November, it's not going away. They're going to have to keep dealing with
it.
Right,
yeah, right. And that's one of the problems that they face then and they face now is you have a tremendous pension debt, the bulk of which was caused by the fact that the pension systems were underfunded by both parties and governors through a number of years, that has come home to roost, and the Supreme Court has said you cannot cut the benefits for people already enrolled in the system. So that really limits their options on what they can do about it. And that's what has made this issue so difficult for anyone to deal with.
And Doug, you know, you've reported on some of the options that are being floated out there in the General Assembly right now, but realistically, with this being an election year, do you expect anything to actually get passed or approved?
I would basically say no, and if anything does get approved, it is going to be relatively innocuous as far as what it does both to solve the problem and any potential impact on workers. Clearly, nobody wants to, no Democrat is going to want to mess with unions this year. They still are courting their support, and one sure way to upset them is to start tinkering with pensions.
Yeah, by the way, in this whole pension issue, you know, Senator Biss from Evanston said Pritzker donated money to a group that was trying to eliminate pensions. And Pritzker said, well, no, they were looking at pensions and they gave money to Daniel Biss. You know, and even in the right. whole Madigan thing, Biss did run like a $10 million anti-Trump, anti-Rauner PAC in the last election cycle. With a lot of Madigan money. So, you know, everybody is accusing everybody of being a hypocrite for criticizing things that they're partially participating in.
And it's kind of interesting, the whole Madigan thing, because as you know, Bernie, that's been a Republican theme for any number of years, even prior to Rauner. People have tried to, Republicans have tried to link Democratic candidates to Madigan as a negative thing, and I would say that it probably has had minimal impact on the outcome of races in the past, but now the situation has gotten so toxic with the Speaker that even the Democratic candidates are seeing advantage in linking their opponents to Madigan.
Right, and it's true, they are piggybacking on millions of dollars in anti-Madigan ads that have been spent by Bruce Rauner, who is trying to use linking every Democrat to Madigan to win more seats in the House and ultimately get rid of the Speaker. That's what he tells Republican groups. We're going to win 9 seats next year, and gosh, we'll see if that happens in President Trump's first midterm, but that's what Rauner wants to do. He wants everybody to urge candidates to take a pledge not to vote for Madigan, and if they don't, trash him, and we're going to see millions of dollars spent in that way. And it is interesting that in this Democratic primary, the message is very similar to the one that Bruce Rauner has been issuing from the Republican side.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that Rauner in his own primary with State Rep Jeannie Ives has tried to link her to Rauner, her to Madigan as well.
Which is really
an odd thing. I think
thing.
Something we didn't expect to see of all the things you know, to clash over. But
you know, people who just watch the process like us have said, you know, I've written or at least questioned Governor Rauner since he's been in. How are you going to ever make a deal on a state budget or anything else with Mike Madigan when you keep running advertisements in kind of this continuous campaign saying that he's corrupt and attacking him personally in ways like that? Because usually other politicians have realized or at least believed there's a time to run for election, then there's a time to govern, but the election season has kind of never ended under Bruce Rauner. So Jeannie Ives said similar things when she had a showdown with Rauner, a face-to-face before the Chicago Tribune editorial board, and basically said things, why are you picking on Mike Madigan all the time? He is the Speaker. You need to work with him. So then Rauner puts it in.
That's now an ad clip.
That's now an ad that Rauner is running, quoting her and having her repeat the name Madigan, which is why so many politicians are scared to say Madigan, because they know the Bruce Rauner playbook, the Republican Party playbook has been, if you mention the word Madigan, it's going to end up in an ad somewhere, be repeated ad nauseum to people, and they will try to link you to him. So it's weird. There are some Republicans who have endorsed Jeannie Ives over Governor Rauner in the March 20th primary, you know, who have said, this is ludicrous, Governor, stop it. Jeannie Ives is clearly not a Madigan person. Those kinds of entreaties don't seem to work in a political season from either side.
You know, the one thing I was surprised did not come up last night at the debate was the tapes.
The tapes of Blagojevich?
With Pritzker talking to Blagojevich.
You could probably
blame
the moderators,
expected, huh? I think a lot of people may have expected some of Mr. Pritzker's opponents to bring it up.
I would say possibly if Mr. Kennedy was here, and Chris Kennedy has really been seeking support from the African American community. You know, the Kennedy name is well known as advocates of civil rights. His father, you know, Robert F. Kennedy, former U.S. Attorney General, presidential candidate. And so the fact that Kennedy wasn't there may have kept that from being thrown in on the side.
True.
As
That's probably
issue.
The number one way it changed the tone of the debate and the substance. So moving on from the debate, new developments this week, Doug, with the Quincy Veterans Home. You know, another few cases of Legionnaires' disease piling up.
There's new cases of the disease being reported. And perhaps the most significant development was actually late last week when the Associated Press obtained a copy of a report that was done back in 2016 that pegged the cost of dealing with a plumbing system at the Quincy Veterans Home to address this issue at somewhere around $8 million. And this report had been kept under wraps. There had been other attempts to get it, and reporters were thwarted in their attempts to get it, and which, of course, made everyone wonder exactly what was in it. And the interesting part about all this is when this case first erupted back when WBEZ Radio did an extensive story on it. The head of Veterans Affairs said that it might cost up to $500 million to deal with the plumbing problems at the home, which obviously is an astronomical figure. And then there was a report released that was done more recently that put the cost at, I think, $25 to $30 million or thereabouts, substantially less, but still substantially more than what this now we find out was the initial report of how this problem could have been addressed. So this has fueled the fire of people who believe the Rauner administration did not take adequate steps to address this problem when it was first came to light.
And the administration's response to this has been?
Well, the governor has said that he, you know, this is terrible what's happening to our veterans, and we're doing everything we can, and we followed the Centers for Disease Control and worked with the federal officials all along. As the governor tends to do, he has said at the beginning he wouldn't change anything. They did everything they possibly could, and he hasn't changed that. But then you get critics, including those, well, J.B. Pritzker on the Democratic side calls
sure,
it a fatal mismanagement
issue.
Because 13 people have died from the Legionnaires outbreak over the last few years at that home, or outbreaks, you know, as they have happened. But even from his own party, because he's in a primary, again, Representative Jeannie Ives from Wheaton, running against him in the Republican primary, had a press conference in Chicago about this. And I will change one word, but she said, what the heck is wrong with this governor? Get those people out of there, you know, move them.
So she's advocating that they be moved
She's
out.
Advocating that they be moved at least temporarily to make sure they can get away from the tainted water system that hasn't been fixed yet. And we will see where it goes. The governor, again, promised quick action and that he would reveal it shortly. So we'll see what happens
right.
next.
Right. So he has not talked specifically about, yes, I'm going to embrace this report or some other measure just to keep his options open. Of course, he'll do whatever is best for veterans without ever spelling out exactly what that is in this case.
And he did spend 6 days at the home, but you can look at that in whatever ways. And, of course, one of the people he met there, you know, was one of the two residents who were his guests in the gallery at the State of the State address. And that was actually a person from Springfield, and that was one of the people who was among the four who recently got sick. There were no fatalities, thankfully. But
right.
That was just an ironic twist, in a sense, that the governor was trying to show how much he cared, but one of those people got sick, and they just haven't apparently adequately gotten control of the problem, which is a very difficult problem, but it's a political season, so that's where we're at.
Yep. Speaking of problems in politics, you know, we had the tragic school shooting last week in Florida, and Doug, it seems like now there's some measures starting to bubble up here in Illinois for the General Assembly to consider.
There are there's one bill that's already been in the hopper, was in the hopper long before this latest shooting incident. And that was sponsored by Senator Don Harmon that would require licensing of gun dealers in the state. Just this last week, they passed, the Senate committee passed an amendment to that bill. It addressed some of the concerns that have been raised about the original version of it. That is going to be now sent to the full Senate floor to see if there's support there for passing this. There's also Senator Ira Silverstein, who we all know has been under fire for some other issues, introduced a bill to ban the sale of assault weapons in Illinois. Maybe that has more momentum now, but that is one of those issues that has been introduced repeatedly over the years in the General Assembly and has never found enough
much traction.
Right. And there's also a measure in the House that's been introduced to address the idea of people who are able to order parts for guns and assemble them themselves, and therefore they do not have serial numbers and are not registered in any way. And they want to address that issue.
Yeah, and there's another one, Julie Morrison, Senator, Democrat of Deerfield, Lethal Violence Order of Protection Act. It would allow courts to require individuals to turn over their firearms if it's determined they pose a danger to themselves or the public. In other words, you could seek an order of protection like to keep somebody away from me. Hey, this person shouldn't have guns, and a court can order that. All of these things, it's very interesting. This is It's kind of a partisan issue. More Democrats have been for gun control in Illinois, and the city of Chicago was always very strong on gun control until home ownership of a gun used to even be banned until the Supreme Court overturned that for someone in Chicago. But it's also a regional issue. A lot of Southern Illinois Democrats are hunters. In fact, it's real funny when George Ryan, the Republican Secretary of State at the time, was running for governor in 98 against Glenn Pritchard from Southern Illinois, who was a Democratic congressman. He ran giant ads in Chicago newspapers, George Ryan did, showing that Glenn Pritchard was for guns in what he had talked about in his runs for Congress in Southern Illinois. Therefore, he should not be our governor. So the partisanship, some of it is regional, some of it is partisan. With the recent school shooting in Florida, we'll see where not only the national movement goes, but if that does affect the state, we do have an overwhelmingly Democratic legislature. Clearly before the March 20th primary, I don't think things will happen here, but it would be real interesting to see what the kind of moderate on some social issues Governor Rauner would do if the Democrats pass gun control that the governor might be okay with, but would enrage part of his more conservative base on the Republican side. So the politics of this as nationally is very difficult in the state.
And it's going to be interesting too, because the Senate has always, or at least now, is the more liberal chamber of the two. So you could easily see them passing some of these gun control measures. The House, meanwhile, has been more generally conservative. It's also been more evenly split between gun advocates and gun control people, much more, I think, than the Senate has been in the past. And that's consequently why things like an outright assault weapons ban and some other gun control issues, and also why some gun rights things that some would consider more extreme have never gotten it out of the General Assembly, just because the chamber, the House in particular, has been fairly evenly divided on that.
Okay. One other quick issue before we wrap up today. Next week is the Janus case hearing at the Supreme Court, and that also cropped up in politics this week, Bernie.
It did. Well, there's Governor Rauner has been saying for some months now that while I can't get past Mike Madigan, he's blocking everything I'm trying to do, but there are two Supreme Court cases that could really help change the culture and help businesses in Illinois and around the country. And one of those is
Janus.
The Janus case, which is named for Mark Janus of Springfield, a state worker who says he doesn't believe, he thinks it violates his freedom of speech rights, that he has to pay dues to AFSCME, the union that represents his bargaining unit, and he has to pay fair share dues which means he has to pay some money to the union that he doesn't think represents his interests, even though unions say that that kind of situation, they call them fair share dues to people who don't want to join because we represent you in collective bargaining, we get your pension benefits, we get your salary benefits, therefore you should pay us something even if you don't believe in our outside political activities. It is very possible that the High Court will rule on this year. There will be hearings, the oral argument in Washington on Monday. Anyway, Governor Auner has said, I'm really for the Janus case. I started it. But there's something called the Liberty Justice Center, which started as an offshoot of the Illinois Policy Institute, which is along with a federal right-to-work organization or national right-to-work organization, is representing Janus in the Janus case. And they say the governor was dismissed from that case months ago. He should quit talking about it and politicizing it because and a guy named Pat Hughes runs that organization because, as you say, it was going to achieve your political goals, and you say that you're for it. They say that he's not being truthful because he's no longer a party to the case, didn't even join in, as some other governors have done, with outside briefs. And by saying it's a big political issue for you, it may taint the case before the court, even though it looks like the court with, you know, President Trump's new appointee may in fact rule for Janus, and this would be a big blow to the union movement across the country. So, and the governor says you're rewriting history if you say I didn't develop this. And again, the governor has not agreed that he has done anything wrong by talking up that case.
And of course, the undercurrent is so many things have an undercurrent is that these are groups that used to be, they and the governor used to be friendly and perhaps less so
right.
at this point.
Patrick Hughes, who is the head of Liberty Justice Center and is a lawyer, he does a weekly show called Illinois Rising, which has been promoting Jeannie Ives a lot. And the other person on that show is Dan Proft, who runs a chain of newspapers and websites across the state and also runs Liberty Principles PAC, which gives millions of dollars to more conservative candidates than middle-of-the-road Republicans. Dan Proft is for Jeannie Ives outright. And, you know, their radio show goes on radio stations across the state that at one point were purchased by an offshoot of the Illinois Policy Institute. And all of those folks, a lot of those folks used to be with Governor Rauner and now are with Jeannie Ives. So it is a very weird time within the party and the media landscape and with a bunch of websites and newspapers popping up all over the place. People really need to know what's – well, we like the State Journal Register. How's that?
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the court case next week. This being Illinois politics, who knows what else will happen between now and then, but we are now officially less than a month out from the primary. So we'll be back next week to talk about whatever has happened. You can find Under the Dome on Google, iTunes, and Stitcher. And you also, if you have an Alexa, just ask Alexa to play Under the Dome from TuneIn, and you can hear us that way. Thanks, as always, for listening, and we will talk to you next week.